The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 25, Text number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on January 14th, 2018, in Toronto, Canada.
So today we're studying one of the key verses of the entire Bhagavatam out of the 18,000, one of the most key verses. Very special verse today. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatikshava Karunika Suhrida Savadehinam Ajata Shrutava Shanta Sarava Sadhu Bhushana Titikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatava Shanta Sarava Sadhu Bhushana Titikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatava Shanta Sarava Sarabhushana Titikshava Tolerant Karunika Merciful Suhrida Friendly Sarvadehinam to all living entities. Ajata Shratava, inimical to none. Shanta, peaceful. Sadhava, abiding by scriptures. Sadhubhushana, adorned with sublime characteristics. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Purport. A sadhu is described above. A sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, "Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness." These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakura was caned in 22 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jagai and Madai. But still, they were tolerant because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and is merciful to all fallen souls. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of the human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. It is said here, sarvadehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does the human being have a material body, but other living entities, such as cats and dogs, also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone, the cats, dogs, trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sen, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by association with a sadhu, because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benediction of all living entities. Yet although a sadhu is not inimical towards anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? It is a difference in behavior. A sadhu behaves with all conditioned souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than a sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is calm and he quietly and peacefully follows the principles of scripture. A sadhu means one who follows the principles of scripture and at the same time is a devotee of the Lord. One who actually follows the principles of scripture must be a devotee of God, because all the scriptures instruct us to obey the orders of the personality of Godhead. Sadhu, therefore, means a follower of the scriptural injunctions and a devotee of the Lord. All these characteristics are prominent in a devotee. A devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas a non-devotee, even though academically qualified, has no actual good qualifications or good characteristics according to the standard of transcendental realization. So it's not difficult for us to recognize a sadhu, because Prabhupada, we saw Prabhupada. So amazing to experience a sadhu's association. The sadhu is so powerful, even just hearing about the sadhu, you go into ecstasy. I remember when I was coming around, first associating with Vishnu John Swami in Austin back in 71. He would tell us about Prabhupada, because he had so much association with Prabhupada. And I remember one of the ladies who was coming to the program, she had a little baby kid. And this little girl heard about Prabhupada also. And this little girl would go, she'd never seen, but she just heard. She would go, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. She would just call out Prabhupada's name in total ecstasy, a little kid. It was amazing. And I was sitting there hearing this, you know, really impacted me. And just hearing a little girl say, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, like that. It was so amazing, you see. So amazing. So then there was a great opportunity. Now we get to go. We're going to go to the Rath Yatra. We're going to finally see Prabhupada. Oh, wow. But then, so Vishnu Jan Maharaj took off with two of the brahmacharis, the first two who had joined him. The rest of us were going to come later. You see. But then there was some problem, and the GBC said we should stay back. Oh. But then Vishnu Jan talked to the GBC, and we were able to go. The temple president from Dallas drove down and picked us up, and we rode all the way from Austin out to San Francisco. And wow, now we're waiting, you know. We're in the temple, it's a few, like 3 or 4 days, you know, getting ready for Prabhupada's coming, Prabhupada's coming, Prabhupada's coming, oh, Prabhupada's coming, oh, wow. And finally the big day came, Prabhupada's coming, today's the day. But then they needed some volunteers up at the Jayananda, the famous Jayananda, Mr. Rathayatra, you know. He was up there getting the whole thing ready in Golden Gate Park, you know, getting the carts pulled over to the right spot for the parade. And they needed some volunteers. Jayananda needed some volunteers. So I volunteered. I'll help Jayananda get those carts ready. So I went up to the Rathayatra site, and then some van pulls up and says, Prabhupada's arriving at the airport right now. Anybody who wants to come, hop in the van. But I'd already volunteered to help with the Rathayatra carts. So, oh my God. You know, I wanted to help Jayananda. He was famous, great. He was also a great sadhu. You wanted to help Jayananda, but Prabhupada was arriving at the airport. I was so torn what to do, what to do. I volunteered to help here, but now Prabhupada's coming to the airport. Oh, what to... So he just asked Jayananda. I said, Jayananda Prabhu, I've never seen Prabhupada ever before. Can I go to the airport? He looked around, said he had enough money. Yeah, I'll go to the airport. So with Jayananda's blessings, so I hopped in that van and went to the airport. In those days, there was no security, you know. You go right up to the jet bridge. In some countries, I think in Australia, you can still do that, can't you? In Australia, you can still go to the jet bridge?
Domestic,
yeah. But in the U.S., you can't do that. You can't go to the jet bridge. You can't get in that close. But anyway, we were all there. There were 300 devotees, you know. Jumping up and down, the people are coming off the plane, we're waiting, you know. All these karmis are coming off the plane into this huge kirtan. two solid walls of devotees, like 150 on this side, 150 on this side. Hare Krishna, they're coming out, they're going, wow. Well, it's San Francisco, you know, the hippie place. You can expect anything in San Francisco. But they were like, going, wow. And then finally waiting, when is Prabhupada? And then finally Prabhupada came, practically the last passenger off. Prabhupada came, and there he appears all of a sudden. And it was amazing because he was so short. He's the biggest person in the whole universe, but physically he was short. But wow, there's Prabhupada. Now we offer our dandavats. And they had an idea that it'd be very auspicious if Prabhupada would walk in a path of yogurt. So the devotees are sprinkling yogurt all over the airport floors in front of Prabhupada. He was walking in a path of yogurt. I don't know what the authorities thought about that path of yogurt in the airport. But then we got out there, and you know, where the cars pick up passengers, and Prabhupada's standing. There's some pictures of, there's photographs of this. Prabhupada is standing as an aristocratic gentleman, you know, just silently waiting for his car to pick him up. And there was no car. Oh, my God. There was no car. Prabhupada was waiting, waiting, waiting. He didn't, the devotees are in a big circle, just, you know, everybody's taking their darshan. You know, Prabhupada's standing there, you know, we're all standing there just looking at Prabhupada, you know, and he's standing there, an aristocratic gentleman. Now, we devotees from Texas, I think we're the most stupid devotees in all of this come. Because we had a car. And we didn't offer to Prabhupada. We were kind of shy, I guess. It wasn't my car. It wasn't my fault. A devotee, Prabhupada didn't have a ride to the airport. There was no car to pick him up. We had a car. And we were so stupid. We thought, we're going to get to the Rathayatra site before he does so we can greet him when he arrives. Do you imagine? We headed out to the Rathayatra site leaving Prabhupada behind at the airport. We were so stupid, I can't believe it. But anyway, we were stupid and we did what we did. So there, and now Prabhupada finally arrived. It was so wonderful. He got up on Subhadra Devi's cart, the third cart. He gave the most wonderful lecture. The very first word I heard coming from Prabhupada's lotus mouth was Jagannath. He said, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Padagami Bhavatume. That's the first words I ever heard from him, you know, in person. We heard the recordings, but now you're hearing, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Padagami Bhavatume. Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. He gave the most wonderful lecture. There was like 300 devotees and 3,000 hippies. All the Haight-Ashbury hippies showed up, you know, with their beads and their feathers in their hair and the whole Haight-Ashbury scene. You know, all the colorful costumes. They all showed up for the Hare Krishna shindig. It was so wonderful. Prabhupada gave us such a wonderful lecture. He said, you have all seen God. That really turned everybody on. You have all seen God because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. And he said, every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water. I'm going to take advantage of this. Immediately you become Krishna conscious. So you can become a pure devotee of Krishna just by drinking water. Pretty amazing, huh? All you have to do is every time you drink the water, remember Rasaham Mapsukonteya. Krishna is the taste of the water. So Prabhupada made it so simple for us to be Krishna conscious. You just have to see the light of the sun and the moon. Ah, Krishna. When you taste the water, ah, Krishna. And this way. And then, of course, the big festival unfolded. So nice. So that was my first taste of the sadhu in person. We really saw, we're reading here about his tolerance quality. He was so tolerant. He didn't show any anger. He didn't show any impatience. Even though we were so spaced out, there was no car to pick him up. He just patiently waited. He just stood there patiently, like he had all the time in the world. No rush. He didn't look at his watch or, you know, there was no signs of impatience. He just very patiently, peacefully waited for his ride. So this is the great quality. And then that lecture, it showed his great mercy. He presented Krishna in such a way that everybody could connect. Everybody could connect with Krishna. Even if someone who didn't know anything just showed up at this festival by chance. He was so merciful that he was able to connect everybody with Krishna. So there's two of the qualities right there. Tolerance and mercy. Let's see what else. What else we can connect? Friendly. Yeah. I know, I really saw Prabhupada's friendliness in the letters I would get from him. It's just, he was so kind. You really felt Prabhupada was your best friend. You really felt. And what, not just a feeling, you say, yes, Prabhupada, I have no better. Your every well-wisher, he would always sign his letters, you see. Your every well-wisher. In other words, Prabhupada is your best friend. And we all felt that way, didn't we? Prabhupada's our best friend. No one loves us like Prabhupada, you see. Everyone felt that connection. And Prabhupada, the amazing thing, he cared unlimitedly about each and every disciple. I have an example of that. After we spent, few days with Prabhupada in San Francisco, then Prabhupada went down to Los Angeles to it was the world headquarters of ISKCON at that time. And every morning he would go on one of his famous morning walks. So either Venice Beach or Cheviot Hills Park. And so Prabhupada came back, would come back in the car from the walk. He would get out of the car in front of the temple. And then he walked up the sidewalk and then up to the temple. It was actually the temple was the other building at that time. He would walk up to the front of the congregation hall, then make a right turn and go around the sidewalk to the back of the building where his quarters, the stairs where his quarters were. So he had a little route he would take, and the devotees lined up on the route. This is really an ecstatic thing. And every morning, we would line up along that sidewalk. And Prabhupada would be given a basket of flowers, and every devotee would have a flower. So as he comes down the line, you have your own one-on-one moment, just you and Prabhupada for 2 or 3 seconds. It's you and Prabhupada. You hand him a flower, and he hands you a flower. It was so nice. Every devotee had their one-on-one reciprocation with Prabhupada. So I stationed myself right by another front of the line, right behind Vishnu John Swami. And he got a hug, wow! And I was one of his men, and it was so wonderful. It was not that I was envious. I felt I was getting hugged also when Vishnu John Swami got hugged, because I was one of his men, you see. So anyway, I got my flower, and now here you are, a brahmachari. You have a flower that you got from Prabhupada. You don't want to ever lose it, right? Now, if you're a householder, you can put it in a glass case and put it on your living room, you know, in a little. But what's a brahmachari going to do? You know, everything is hanging on a peg in the closet, you know. What are you going to do? Well, I had an idea. I'm going to eat that flower. I'm merging it in my body. I'm not going to let go of that flower. I'm going to merge it in my body. So I ate the flower. But actually, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I hadn't eaten it yet. Now, one thing, when you actually see a sadhu, a pure devotee of the Lord, it's a very powerful experience. Just imagine if you could see Krishna face to face. If he, how happy you would see, how intensely you would have that, if Krishna actually appeared, what kind of experience that would be. Seeing Prabhupada was non-different from that. It was non-different from seeing Krishna himself. That's how powerful it was. So, I call it drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. So anyway, I had my moment with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was going on down the line, devotee after devotee after devotee. So I was hungry for another drink of Prabhupada into my heart, you see. So as he came around the front of the building, I stationed myself on the steps. So I get a nice darshan as he came walking around to go to his quarters. You know, I'm standing there on the steps. And Prabhupada was so amazing in his friendliness that he saw me on the steps up there. And I wasn't in the line, right? I stepped out of the line to get that darshan. And Prabhupada wondered, I wonder if he got a flower or not yet, because he's not in the line. Prabhupada saw me out of line, and he actually stopped for a minute. He held up a flower like, did you get a flower yet? Body language and facial expression. Like, did you get a flower yet? Like that. Wow, Prabhupada picked me out of the crowd and wanted to make sure I'd gotten a flower. Can you imagine how ecstatic I must have felt that moment? Prabhupada, singing out of hundreds of devotees, he's coming to me to make sure I'd gotten a flower. Oh my God. And then I could have lied and said, no, I didn't get another one. I wouldn't lie to my spiritual master. I held up my flower, and I must have had the biggest ear to grin again in my whole life. I can't imagine how big I was smiling at that moment, but I held up my flower. And I went, yes, Prabhupada, I showed him my flower. I had a flower. Then he went on down the line, you see. So just see how friendly he was. My goodness. So friendly, even though he's dealing with so many devotees, you know, GBCs and sannyasis and, you know, big leaders and all this whole thing. But still, here's some crazy bhakta from Texas. And a little bit eccentric, crazy bhakta from Texas. But he wanted to make sure I'd gotten a flower. You see. Wow. Just see the friendliness. So let's see what other qualities we can look at. He's friendly, he's tolerant. He's merciful, he's friendly, he's peaceful. Prabhupada showed us that peacefulness at the airport. He abides by the scriptures, he has all his characteristics are sublime. So this the presence of this great sadhu, his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padivajakacharja Astatarajada Shri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, empowered this movement to take off like a rocket all over the world. So now in Prabhupada's physical absence, what do we have to do? That means we have to become sadhus. That's how this movement will grow. If we are not sadhus, this movement is going to just basically collapse, sorry to say. It will just gradually fold up. You see. Or it'll become another nonsense institution like one of these, you know, one of these Christian organizations or whatever. Just become another pseudo-religious sect. But if we can actually be sadhus, this movement will inundate the whole world. Inundate the whole world. So we have to develop these qualities. We have to develop these qualities. We have to beg Krishna, my dear Lord, please free me from all this, these anartas, so I can truly become sadhu. Please bless me. Please bless me. I can be tolerant. I can be merciful. Be friendly to all living entities. You see, I'm not inimical towards anyone. My mind's always peaceful. I'm always following the scriptures. You see, we have to become sadhu. That will be our success, personally, to qualify ourselves to get out of the cycle of birth and death. And it'll be a success as a movement to actually attract the whole world to this process. The nice story is given here. I really was enlivened when I read. I like that story, that history of Shivananda Sen and the dog. I'll give a little more details about that story. That's really a wonderful story. So Shivananda Sen was wealthy, and he was like he would sponsor the pilgrimage. Basically, there would be they didn't have buses or trains or airplanes. They would walk from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. It was an annual thing. They would go to Puri, and he would help at least cover the expenses and sponsor the thing. But still, they were walking down the road. Some dog started tagging along with them. And they finally came to a river, and when they get to the river, you have to hire a boat. So all the people paid the boat fare and got in the boat. And the dog hops in too. And the boatman says, "Hey, that dog can't come for free. You have to pay for that dog. I'm not going to take him for free across the river." So Shivananda Sen paid for the dog, whatever it was, how many paisa, I don't know. He paid for the dog. He paid the dog's boat fare because he wanted the dog to stay with him. He was so kind. He was a sadhu. He was friendly to the dog also. He wanted the dog should be allowed to continue. So he paid the boat fare for the dog. So they're walking on. One day the dog just kind of disappeared. He wasn't around anymore. What happened? Where's the dog? No one knew. They got to Puri. They went in to see Lord Chaitanya, and guess who was there? The dog. He had gone ahead of the party and gotten before them, and he was there with Lord Chaitanya. You know that the green coconut, that nice pulp? Lord Chaitanya was taking the green coconut pulp, and he was throwing it to the dog, and the dog was going, "Hari bol, Hari bol." Can you imagine what kind of dog that was? Wow. And then the dog wasn't there anymore, and it was learned he had gone to the spiritual world. Wow, you see. So this is the great mercy. Shivananda Sen was merciful to the dog. Lord Chaitanya was merciful to the dog, and the dog actually became liberated from his dog. Normally you have to be a human being and go back to Godhead, but that dog went directly back to Godhead from his dog body because of the mercy of the sadhus. You understand? So this is the caliber of consciousness that we neophyte devotees have to develop. We have to learn how to become sadhus. There's a lot of fringe benefits. When you're a sadhu, you're completely ecstatic because you're peaceful. You're always peaceful, you see. Of course, sometimes we deal with disturbing things, you see. It's not that a sadhu is just, you know, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot. You know. It's not that he can't be a heavy preacher. A sadhu can be very heavy, just like Prabhupada. When he was at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, you may have heard this story. You may have never heard. There was some Mayavadi, and he said, Swamiji, it's all one. Boom. He wouldn't accept Vaishnava philosophy. Prabhupada wasn't very happy with this Mayavadi. He grabbed him by the shirt, and he went like this. He grabbed him by the shirt. He said, it's all one. Why don't you wear a cotton ball? Devotees couldn't understand. Oh no, Swamiji is losing his temper. Oh no, call a cab, we got to get him out of here. Swamiji is losing his temper. They couldn't understand the anger of the spiritual master. It was transcendental. So a sadhu can also be angry, but it's not that he is overwhelmed by anger. It's not that he loses his temper, you see. When a karmi gets angry, he just loses his temper. He says things he shouldn't have said. He does things he shouldn't have done. Just like when Brahmacharya got angry at me in the bajar room, he punched me in the face one time. You know, you know, that's uncontrolled anger. But a sadhu does get angry for the sake of preaching. You see, an advanced devotee can sometimes show anger for the purpose of teaching us. As a teaching technique. A sadhu can show anger. Prabhupada showed very intense anger with that rascal at MIT. So devotees didn't understand, but of course later on we learn these things, that Prabhupada can be angry, but that's transcendental anger. So that's another thing a sadhu can do. He can show anger. So, what else we can say? The Prabhupada gives the example of Jesus Christ, Lord Nityananda, you see. The sadhu is sometimes mistreated. But he is tolerant. He takes it. And sometimes happen. Devotees, for example, they're out on book distribution, they get arrested. You see. We have to face difficulties when we're preaching. So a sadhu has to tolerate these things. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. No, an advanced devotee does. There's two kinds of fault findings. A neophyte devotee, one is envious and one wants to put others down. That person finds fault with everyone, you see. He's envious, he must. But one who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness out of kindness can see the faults and point them out. That's different. That's as a well-wisher, a well-wishing friend can point out a fault to help someone.
Not pointing out fault, but for one should know whether it is right or wrong for oneself. Shouldn't they see?
I don't follow the point.
Like if somebody sees some fault in somebody, for one's own learning purpose, what is right and what is wrong, one should not see that.
Actually, one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, he knows what is right and he knows what is wrong. And it's not that he thinks that everything is okay. He does make distinctions. If you're going to know the difference between right and wrong, you have to be able to see it everywhere. You see? Some devotee comes in smoking a cigarette, I'm going to immediately know that's wrong. If I think, well, he's a devotee, he's smoking a cigarette, and smoking cigarettes must be okay, I'll smoke a cigarette too. You see? One who is actually fixed in Krishna consciousness. He knows what is right, he knows what is wrong. He can see that in himself and in others also, naturally. It's the duty of the spiritual master and senior devotees also, who are siksha gurus, to find the faults. It's their duty. It's not out of envy wanting to put somebody down. It's wanting to elevate them. You see, an envious person will find fault. Yeah, you're just greedy. You're just envious. They want to put you down, you see. But an advanced devotee, he actually wants to elevate you. He's pointing out a fault because he wants to elevate you, not put you down. That's different. Okay, now we get some questions coming in. Is it okay to be upset in devotional service if some other devotees are not performing their services properly? Well, it depends on what you mean by upset. If you become completely distraught that you can't even function, you get so angry that, you know, that wouldn't be. Depends on how you're upset. There's controlled anger and controlled anger can be used in Krishna's service. Not that you're controlled by it. But controlled anger means you see something that's not right and you correct the person who's doing the wrong thing. You may speak as like an angry person, but it's not that you're controlled by anger. You're saying, Prabhu, that's nonsense. Why are you doing that? You see? So there's a difference between using anger as a teaching technique and being controlled by anger. If you're upset means you lose your cool, then you lose your equilibrium, you lose your Krishna consciousness, then it's wrong. If you use an upset sort of demeanor to teach them, that's different. But you should never lose your Krishna consciousness. If you mean losing your Krishna consciousness, if upset means losing Krishna consciousness, it's not okay to be upset. Should never, your Krishna consciousness should never be upset. But you can utilize, you can show that you're upset with them. It's a teaching technique.
Is it wrong in that text? Is it wrong when devotees gets upset when they do repeatedly the same thing, same mistake, when they are told?
Depends on what we mean when we say upset. Prabhupada was certainly disturbed by things that we did. But he didn't lose his Krishna consciousness. One can be disturbed when things are not right. You see? Somebody gets on the altar, they do everything wrong. Well, naturally, the head pujari is going to be disturbed. That's his service to be disturbed. You see? But if he's so disturbed, he starts swearing some curse words and, damn you or something like that. Obviously, it's not right. It's a matter of how you're upset, how you're disturbed. You can be disturbed. You can be disturbed Krishna consciously, as Prabhupada sometimes showed, or you can be disturbed non-Krishna consciously. Depends. It's the duty of the parents and the guru to chastise. So chastise means you're showing a disturbance with what they're doing. If a devotee remembering another devotee, god brother, god sister, spiritual master, will he go back to Godhead in all the above scenarios? Prabhupada, let's see, how did he say that? Shivananda is saying, He was all alone in West Germany. It was very difficult. He was sleeping in abandoned buildings, if you can imagine. Very difficult. And Prabhupada wrote him the great benefit of remembering the God brothers also. It was very auspicious. I forget exactly how Prabhupada stated it, but Prabhupada was saying how the auspiciousness of remembering the God brothers also. So if it depends on how you remember. If you If you remember my humble teachings, you will have my association and the association of your God brothers also. Because he was all alone with no other devotees, you see. Yeah, Prabhupada said, if you remember my humble teachings, you'll have my association and the association of your God brothers also. So that's a really cool thing, you know. It's like I can associate with you just by remembering Prabhupada's teachings. Wherever I am in the world, I can be in your association by remembering Prabhupada's teachings, you see. So... Well, that's how you're. Is a general principle, yes. But you know, if you're thinking in a negative way, then that's different. Thinking, yeah, that jerk, he's no good. He's just puffed up. He's contaminated. He has no sincerity. He's just really a demon and rest of the devotee. You know, they wouldn't go back to God like that. You know, you're thinking, oh, this devotee. You know, he's so sincere. Even though he's handicapped, he's sincerely serving Prabhupada's mission to the best of his ability with great enthusiasm. You see, if you're thinking you're in the mood of worshiping the devotees, and we should always be in that mood. You're in the mood of appreciating and worshiping the devotees. That sort of thoughts, that will definitely take you back to Godhead. Because Krishna says, it's stated there, what is that? Ye me bhakta jana parta, it's in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta state janaha. Mad bhaktanam cha ye bhakta ste me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Wow. There you go. If you're just a devotee of Krishna, Krishna says, you're not my devotee. You're only a devotee of me. You're not the devotee of my devotees. Get out. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, yes, welcome. You see, that's why we take a guru, you see. You can't jump over the head of the guru. Krishna says, who are you, you upstart? Get out. You're not the devotee of my devotee. Get out. If you're the devotee of my devotee, you're in. Come in. So it's very important to be devoted to the devotees, not just your guru. Well, you know, if my guru is giving class, I'll come in here, but I'm not going to hear anybody else's class, only my guru's class. Come on, what kind of rascal are you, you know? We have to appreciate all, worship all the sadhus. These ISKCONers are sadhus. Even though we're neophyte sadhus, you see. We should appreciate all the devotees, you see. We should learn how to worship and appreciate all the devotees. Because the more you're a devotee of the devotee, the more you actually become a devotee of Krishna. So it looks like that's all the questions, all two of them. Anything else? Looks like that's it. Time for all the sadhus to engage in devotional service. To purify their hearts and to take over the world for Prabhupada. We want to attract the whole world. That's our mission. So call to purify your heart and then pray that you can do your part to make the world Krishna conscious. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sadhu Sangha ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Jai.